Heavenly Father, I am so thankful to be here to worship you. I'm so thankful, Lord, for each person that's here present to bring you glory and honor, to raise up our hands, to raise up our hearts, and to praise you. I'm thankful, Lord, for the opportunity we have to hear this story and reflect on Christ's coming, his incarnation. Lord, please just touch each of our hearts. Lord, remove whether it's sin or worries or distractions, whatever it might be that would keep us from hearing your word. Lord, please just prepare our hearts and our minds that we receive what you have for us today. Thank you, Lord, in Jesus' name. Amen. Well, just so you know, I'm doing a short, the manger, the cross, and the crown, a short sermon series today, next week, and then the final one on the 24th, Christmas Eve. I was sitting there thinking about what to, you know, preach about for Christmas, and as I started to think about the different amazing gifts that God has given us, he's given us the gift of his son Jesus coming in as a baby, you know, his birth. He gave us the gift of his going to the cross for us, and then, of course, the gift of his return, which he's promised us. And as I started to put these themes together, lo and behold, I'm doing a little Google search for some themes, and I put, you know, manger, cross, and crown. And Billy Graham's got a book called The Cradle, the Cross, and the Crown. Have you guys read that? Has anybody read that? I just thought, well, obviously, there's been lots of sermons that have been preached on this. I don't know about a series, but anyway, so today we're going to be talking about God's gift of his birth, the incarnation, Jesus coming personally. We'll be talking about his sacrifice, his blood shed on the cross next week, and we'll be anticipating, eagerly anticipating his return as we worship him on Christmas Eve. Question or statement, on December 9th, 1965, one of the most profound questions of all time was asked. It was asked by a little boy who was very introspective for his age and always seemed to be searching for meaning in life. He often sought answers from his friend Lucy. She was enthusiastic to answer his questions, and all it would cost him is 5 cents. Oh, that's not endearing. Come on, people. That's very endearing. 5 cents. Maybe you've heard of this little boy, Charlie Brown, and maybe you've heard of his important question. Isn't there anyone who knows what Christmas is all about? Let's listen as his friend provides the answer to that question.
Isn't there anyone who knows what Christmas is all about?
Sure, Charlie Brown, I can tell you what Christmas is all about. Lights, please.
And there were in the same country shepherds, abiding in the field, keeping watch over their flock by night, and lo, the angel of the Lord came upon them. And the glory of the Lord shone round about them, and they were sore afraid. And the angel said unto them, Fear not, for behold, I bring you tidings of great joy, which shall be to all people. For unto you is born this day in the city of David a Savior, which is Christ the Lord. And this shall be a sign unto you. You shall find the babe wrapped in swaddling clothes, lying in a manger. And suddenly there was with the angel a multitude of the heavenly host praising God, and saying, Glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace, goodwill toward men.
So Linus recites, in the answer to this profound question, recites Luke chapter 2, verses 8 to 14 in the King James Bible. And then he walks off the stage. If he had a microphone, I'm sure he would have dropped it. But that's what Christmas is all about, Charlie Brown. Christmas is all about the incarnation of the Son of God. Jesus Christ is God's gift to men, which is great news, which should bring great joy to all of us. Jesus was born to a virgin, taking on human flesh. This Latin word for flesh is carne. And so incarnation means the enfleshment of Jesus, taking on flesh. The Bible doesn't use the word incarnation to describe Jesus' birth, but John clearly says that he became human. John chapter 1, verse 14, it says, "So the Word, that is Jesus, the Word became human and made his home among us. He was full of unfailing love and faithfulness, and we have seen his glory, the glory of the Father's one and only Son." What we celebrate at Christmas is not so much the birth of a baby, as important as that is, but what's so significant about this particular birth and this particular baby is that we have the birth, we have the incarnation in the flesh, God himself. This doctrine that Jesus had become fully, that he become human, that he added humanity to his divinity, that is, he didn't subtract himself, he didn't become any less God. It's the basis for our belief that Jesus is both fully God and fully human. It's interesting to note that this did not become settled truth, widely accepted doctrine, until about the year 450. Roughly 450 years after the birth of Christ, and long after the scriptures had been written and disseminated, many of the early heretics, false teachers, held unbiblical views about Christ. The three primary heresies or lies about Jesus were these. There was the Gnostic heresy, which stated that Jesus only appeared to be a true human. The Arian heresy, which taught that Jesus was a created being, less than God. And there are still a lot of people that believe that today, that he was a created being. The Nestorian heresy, which implied that the Son of God and the man Jesus shared the same body but retained two separate personhoods. The church councils of Ephesus in the year 431 and Chalcedon in 451 strongly refuted these lies that were taught by the heretics. And since that time until this day, Orthodox Christians, that is, biblical Christians, accept that Jesus is fully man and fully God. He's still fully man today. To us, those who sincerely hold the belief in Scripture, the inerrancy of the Bible and in the Son of God, it may sound ridiculous to believe such nonsense, but Satan has not stopped trying to destroy our faith in Christ as both fully man and fully God. Rather than attacking clear biblical principles, his tactic is to distract us from remembering what his birth, his life, and death are all about, not to mention his return. When people are asked the question, "What is the meaning of Christmas?" or "What does Christmas mean to you? What is Christmas all about?" People will often say it's about giving gifts, time with family, generosity, caring for those that are less fortunate, or good deeds. Or it's about Santa Claus or Rudolph or Christmas trees or Rudolph or the snowman. It's unlikely that many of the people today still hold to these early, to these heresies from the early church or the early centuries. But most believe that the celebration of Christmas is all about everything but Christ. And even those of us who remember the baby Jesus in the manger forget that he wrapped himself in humanity to save us. We have allowed the true meaning of Christmas to be diminished and to be diluted. So we have grown to accept this idea that Christmas can mean whatever you want it to mean. It's totally up to you. After all, who am I to judge what you believe? But we have become so familiar with the Christmas story that we have lost sight of the mystery and the miracle, the tremendous gift that God in his incarnation has given us. And the only way that we as Christians are going to reclaim the true meaning of Christmas for ourselves, let alone for our country, is if we remember that it's with worship and awe and wonder that we reflect on his purpose for coming to the earth. He came because he loves us, which is true. But more significantly, he came to sacrifice his life on the cross for our sins. And he came in person. God knows our greatest need, just like you know your kids' greatest needs. He knows our greatest needs, and he gave us a gift to meet our greatest need. If our greatest need had been information, God would have sent us an educator. If our greatest need had been technology, he would have sent us a scientist. If our greatest need had been money, he would have sent an economist. If our greatest need had been pleasure, God would have sent us an entertainer. But our greatest need was forgiveness, so God sent us a Savior. If the incarnation of the Son of God, that is, he came in the flesh, if the incarnation is denied, we have to toss out several foundational truths in Scripture. Everything God has done and is doing hinges on this central truth that God came in the flesh. The virgin birth, his miracles, his substitutionary death for our sins, his resurrection. To deny the incarnation is to deny the good news itself and our hope right along with it. Just as Paul said to the Corinthians, he said, if our hope in Christ is only for this life, we are more to be pitied than anyone in the world. But our hope in Christ is not only for this world. Let's investigate Christ's purpose in coming. In the very beginning, as God established and created all things, it says this: God revealed himself in creation, just as the psalmist said. Psalm 19, 1-4 says this: the heavens proclaim the glory of God. The skies display his craftsmanship. Day after day they speak, they continue to speak. Night after night they make him known. They speak without a sound or word. Their voice is never heard. Yet their message has gone throughout the earth and their words to all the world. Paul said to the Romans in chapter 1, speaking of those who are wicked and those who suppress the truth or deny it. In Romans 1, he said this: they know the truth about God because he has made it obvious to them. For ever since the world was created, people have seen the earth and the sky. Through everything God made, they can clearly see his invisible qualities, his eternal power and divine nature. So they have no excuse for not knowing God. God revealed himself in his creation. God revealed himself through the prophets and through the law. Hebrews 1:1 says, long ago, God spoke many times and in many ways to our ancestors through the prophets. In Psalm 19, the psalmist continuing on says, the instructions of the Lord are perfect, reviving the soul. The decrees of the Lord are trustworthy, making wise the simple. The commandments of the Lord are right, bringing joy to the heart. And the commands of the Lord are clear, giving insight for living. God's ultimate revelation, above and beyond revealing himself in creation, above and beyond revealing himself in his word and through the prophets, his ultimate revelation of himself is found in Jesus. Hebrews 1:2, and now, in these final days, he has spoken to us through his Son. God promised everything to his Son as an inheritance. And through the Son, he created the universe. John 1, for the law was given through Moses, but God's unfailing love and faithfulness came through Jesus Christ. No one has ever seen God, but the unique one, who is himself God, is near to the Father's heart. He has revealed God to us. You remember Jesus saying that if you have seen me, you have seen the Father? God wants to be known. which is why he revealed himself in creation. It's why he revealed himself in his spoken word through the prophets. And finally, why he revealed himself through his son. He wants to be believed in. He wants to redeem you and to redeem me. But Jesus had to come in the flesh. Paul said that it was necessary that Jesus was born under the law. Listen to what he says in Galatians 4. But when the right time came, and at just the right time, God sent his son, born of a woman, subject to the law. God sent him to buy freedom for us who were slaves to the law so that we could be adopted, so he could adopt us as his very own children. Jesus said his coming was a fulfillment of the law, not to abolish it. He said in Matthew 5, "Don't misunderstand why I have come. I did not come to abolish the law of Moses or the writing of the prophets. No, I have come to accomplish their purpose." Their purpose of the Old Testament was to point to Jesus and our necessity for a Savior. Everyone in this room, myself included, as Paul said in Romans 3:23, "For all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God." We have all failed to fulfill God's law as established in the Old Testament, as established in the Ten Commandments. Jesus came in the flesh under the law to fulfill the law on our behalf, to take the punishment that we deserve. Therefore, God revealed himself, which is his purpose in saving us. God revealed himself to man through Jesus in his becoming human. That is his incarnation, his enfleshment. His becoming human in his coming and becoming human. There are but a couple of other reasons that Christ came. And if I were to preach on each of these passages that dealt with his coming, it would take dozens of sermons, but I want to share a few passages with you. Why Christ came, and this is a paraphrase of each reason. Jesus Christ came into the world to save sinners. Christ came to seek and save those who are lost. Christ came not to be served, but to serve others and to give his life as a ransom. Christ came and was born into the world to testify to the truth. Christ came to do the will of God the Father who sent him, not to do his own will, but to do the Father's. Jesus Christ came to be a light that would shine in the dark world. Jesus Christ came. His purpose is to give you a rich and satisfying life. And John says it in the most familiar words. For this is how God loved the world. He gave his one and only Son, so that everyone who believes in him will not perish but have eternal life. God sent his Son into the world, not to judge the world, but to save the world through him. Now, isn't there anyone who knows what Christmas is all about? It's about the baby Jesus. Celebrating his coming from spiritual conception to straw habitation. Celebrating a Son of God coming into the world, both fully God and fully man. The doctrine of the incarnation is compelling and beautiful and biblical, necessary and mysterious. It has been debated, investigated, analyzed, doubted, but never disproven. Those who doubt are missing out on the true meaning of Christmas, which is worship. And suddenly, the angel was joined by a vast host of others, the armies of heaven, praising God and saying, "Glory to God in the highest heaven and peace on earth to those whom God is pleased." It's all about worship. to remember Jesus as the baby and only the baby without knowing that it is God in the flesh and believing that he is fully God and fully man. That's a foundational truth for all of us. God himself gave us this unspeakable gift. I want to share this story to close. Long ago, there ruled in Persia a wise and good king. He loved his people. He wanted to know how they lived. He wanted to know about their hardships. Often he dressed in clothes of a working man or a beggar and went to the homes of the poor. No one whom he visited thought that he was their ruler. One time he visited a very poor man who lived in a cellar. He ate the coarse food the poor man ate. He spoke cheerful and kind words to him. Then he left. Later, he visited a poor man again and disclosed his identity by saying, "I am your king." The king thought the man would surely ask for some gift or favor, but he didn't. Instead, he said, "You left your palace and your glory to visit me in this dark, dreary place. You ate the coarse food I ate. You brought gladness to my heart. To others, you have given your rich gifts. To me, you have given yourself." The King of Glory, the Lord Jesus Christ, gave himself to you and me. And the Bible calls him the unspeakable gift. God revealed himself through creation. God revealed himself through his word and finally through his son. So you have no excuses for not knowing him. That is what Christmas is all about. Amen. Pray with me. Heavenly Father, you are a wonderful and amazing and glorious God. Your gift is without measure, is unspeakable, is unimaginable. We can't fathom why you did this. We can't imagine what it looks like for a God, you, to become flesh. We can't conceive of it, Lord. We can just stand or sit here and just in awe and wonder. And I pray that this awe and wonder of who you are and what you've come to do would reside in our hearts and our minds throughout this many days ahead in Christmas. Do not let us neglect or forget the reason for this time of year as we celebrate and worship you. Do not let us forget this amazing gift. Help us, Lord. We need you. Be glorified right now in Jesus' name. Amen. Let's stand and worship the Lord.